From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. KTOO's Jeremy Shea has this look back at Juneau's biggest stories of 2020.
It was January when the United States confirmed its first case of the respiratory illness caused by a novel coronavirus, and it wasn't far away.
Having it hit so close to home in Seattle, we're only another plane ride away.
That's Charlie Gribben. She's a nurse, and it's her job at Bartlett Regional Hospital to keep infections from spreading. Juneau confirmed its first case of COVID-19 on March 22nd, so she's had a long year. The hospital's community relations director caught this happy bookend on video.
This is the moment you've been waiting for.
Charlie's so excited.
We got Charlie Gribben, our infection preventionist, getting the first corona vaccine.
Gribben called the arrival of the vaccine the beginning of the end of the pandemic. The official count of residents that have had COVID-19 is nearing 1,000. Mayor Beth Weldon was one of them. 5 Juneau residents' deaths have also been attributed to COVID-19. Donna Pratt was the second. She spent most of July in the hospital, struggling to breathe. From her hospital bed, she saw misinformation about the pandemic spreading online and spoke up.
This is not a joke. I am not being paid to do this as a hope. This is real life. This is my real life.
Beyond case counts, COVID-19's wake was wide. Businesses, public buildings, and institutions had to shut down abruptly and try to adapt to public health mandates and advice. Schools and the University of Alaska system shut down. For the most part, they stayed physically closed, but classes returned virtually as a mix of pre-recorded videos, electronic assignments, individual learning, and video conferencing. It works for some families and has been a huge struggle for others. For Mom Aura Landau, it was somewhere in between.
We can't just like set it and forget it. We can't just like put him on the Zoom and walk away and he's got a full day of schooling. That's not how it's going to work.
The high schools held surreal graduation ceremonies, one bubble at a time. There was no Alaska Folk Festival, no gold medal basketball tournament. Celebration and many other events went virtual or drive-in. 2020 was forecast to be a record year for cruise ship visitors. The growth had prompted discussions about capping cruise ship visits. It turned out to be a total bust. At Juneau Tours and Whale Watch, General Manager Serene Hutchinson said at first, pre-sales were way up.
And so we were getting ready for a huge season. We were sweating. We were nervous.
Within days of the World Health Organization declaring a global pandemic, Hutchinson was scaling her workforce down to 5 employees instead of 85. Layoffs and unemployment claims shot up. The industry is normally Juneau's biggest private sector employer. Some businesses adapted, some scaled down. Some will never recover. The demand for financial aid exploded among individuals and small businesses. City officials put together a raft of relief programs funded by the Federal CARES Act.
Juneau is not immune.
Activists turned out in support of the Black Lives Matter movement after Minneapolis police officers killed George Floyd on video. Lacey Davis shared her experience growing up Black in the community, including when a boy in high school asked if they could be friends so he could use the N-word.
I didn't really understand the implications of it. I thought that he was just trying to be dumb and funny. But my dad was the one that had to tell me, like, no, this was wrong. And when somebody says that to you, they don't actually want to be your friend.
And Jose Ignacio Manzo, he described having persistent anxiety after being confronted in a traffic stop by a police officer wielding an assault rifle. He thinks he got mixed up with someone else who was involved in a report of shots fired. Protests, discussions, and listening sessions led the Juneau Police Department to release its use of force policy. It also led outgoing Assemblymember Rob Edwardson to help create a new committee tasked with reviewing local legislation for systemic racism.
A lot of the things that we've seen in the unrest around the country and around the community have a root cause, and that root cause is systemic racism. But rather than talking about it, I wanted to do something about it.
The city just opened up an application process for members. Alaska Native leader, former lieutenant governor, and longtime Juneau resident Byron Malott died unexpectedly in May from a heart attack. Then Jody Potts shared her firsthand account of what Malott did to her that led to his abrupt resignation from state office in 2018. For the first time, the city and borough of Juneau ran its municipal election by mail. City Clerk Beth McEwen recommended the switch to reduce the risk of spreading the coronavirus. With some help from her counterpart's office in Anchorage, it went smoothly. and it likely had a role in voter turnout. It was a 20-year high at 42.7%. Extreme weather continued to batter Juneau. Capital City had its second wettest June on record. Menhall Lake and River flooded three times this summer. A spate of bad weather in November led to a series of widespread electric outages. A monster storm in December smashed an all-time single-day rain record set in 1946. It caused widespread flooding and slide damage, and it led to a local emergency declaration. Also, bears. Police and area wildlife authorities dealt with hundreds more calls about bear issues this year than normal. Lots of garbage bears. At least two may have figured out how to open car doors. One walked into a Schweitzer Village home where 13 people were inside. It injured one man on its way out. And finally, let's not forget the lumbermen. That's the derelict tugboat that's haunted Gatineau Channel, and this list, for about 3 years now. It's still floating, but securely at a city dock. Not for much longer. Harbormaster Matt Cresswell says it'll be towed and sunk offshore in early spring under an EPA-approved plan. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
You may know it as the COVID relief bill that will send you $600. It's also the bill President Trump finally signed to avoid a government shutdown. Less known is that the massive year-end bill is the most significant law to fight climate change that Congress has passed in years, and maybe ever, Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin reports.
The energy section of this 5,000-page bill is labeled Division Z, and it's its own kind of huge. Senator Lisa Murkowski has been working on it for years.
Well, remember that energy bill that we had on the floor back in February and then in early March?
Murkowski couldn't pass it then, but as chair of the Energy Committee, she negotiated for months behind the scenes, adding energy priorities along the way. It all came together in the waning days of 2020, and it hopped the last train leaving the congressional station, the COVID/government spending bill. Division Z has a smorgasbord of energy programs, old and new.
It's historic. It's certainly the largest clean energy and climate bill in a decade.
Rich Powell leads ClearPath, a group advocating for conservative solutions to climate change. Some 70 senators and House members contributed to the energy part of the bill. Powell says key features came from Murkowski's committee.
The piece that we're most excited about is the huge moonshot program to develop new innovative clean energy technologies.
The bill has billions to research and develop wind, solar, hydro, and geothermal, plus energy storage to make renewables more useful. It aims to develop new kinds of nuclear power. The bill will establish 20 major demonstration projects over the next 5 years. Powell says it will combat climate change by acting as a launch pad for new technologies.
And we need them fast. We need to develop them in the mid-2020s so that companies in the United States can deploy them in the 2030s and bring the cost down, and then the rest of the world can deploy them in the 2040s.
LG Holstein of the Environmental Defense Fund says it's also important that the bill continues tax credits for existing technology like wind and solar energy, plus a new credit for offshore wind.
Those tax credits have been critical in helping to bring down the cost, and those costs are still falling, for these clean energy sources.
Some of the bill's provisions have particular relevance in Alaska. It expands the weatherization assistance program to help retrofit homes. It also encourages the development of hybrid microgrid systems for isolated communities. The bill doesn't go as far as some climate groups wanted. Critics say there's not enough support for electric vehicles or smart buildings, nor does it cap greenhouse gas emissions, though it does phase out an especially potent kind, HFCs or hydrofluorocarbons. Some environmental groups don't like that the bill has programs for capturing carbon dioxide to keep the greenhouse gas out of the atmosphere. They say it props up the fossil fuel industry. And the bill divides the fossil fuel lobby. The American Petroleum Institute praises the carbon capture programs, while the American Energy Alliance complains it is a stealth Green New Deal with giveaways for the renewable power industry. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
In other news, a federal judge in Anchorage says she could rule as soon as tomorrow on a request by environmental groups to block the Trump administration from carrying out the first ever lease sale in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. This is KTOO News in Juneau.